Well, praise Jesus. Well, I'm glad y'all are here this morning. We've got Brother Ivan Tate with us, going to be speaking this morning. If you don't know who Brother Ivan is, you will after a little bit. He is my great friend. I've been together for the last 15, 16 years, working missions all over the world, been everywhere in the world with him. He's got the orphanage in Guatemala that we're always talking about, and he's our partner, or we're his partner in the orphanage in Guatemala and everything that's going on. So, Brother Ivan, come on up. He's going to be here. Now, don't forget, we've got services tonight, 6:30, and then we've got Wednesday night. Brother Ivan's still going to be here. So, y'all give him a hand clap this morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Robert. All right, everybody, how about we do something unusual? Get up. Why don't you just go greet a mother that you haven't greeted yet? How about that? Two mothers. Go find two mothers. Say, hey, happy Mother's Day to you. All right. Good job. So you got the mothers that got congratulated by the family, then you got the mothers that got congratulated by the stranger. Or maybe not stranger. Anyway, praise the Lord. Glad to be here today. We're going to be here today and tonight and then on Wednesday. And if you could go to Luke chapter 12, let's get right into the wonderful word of the Lord. Praise God. And thank you for coming to church. That was a really good decision. Luke chapter 12 is where we're going to begin to read. And he spoke a parable to them. And he said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And the rich man thought within himself, what am I going to do? Because I have no more room for everything I have. And he said, well, I'm going to pull down my barns, and then I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to put everything in those barns. And I'm going to say to my soul, soul, you have everything you have ever wanted. Now take it easy, eat and drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall all of these things that you have gathered for yourself belong to? So he said, or so he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Would you shake somebody's hand and say, you're about to get rich. Praise the Lord. Tell three people, say, I don't know how poor you are, but you're about to get rich. Praise the Lord. God's about to make you rich. Somebody a high five and say, if you pay me what you owe me, I'll be rich. I get out of this service rich today. Praise the Lord. Father, we pray that you will anoint the word and that it will be like medicine to our soul, that you will enlighten our darkness, that you will lift us to a higher level, that you will reveal yourself to us, that God, you will encase us in your wonderful love today and all your wonderful blessings. Make Living Waters Church rich with wealthy, Holy Ghost, blessed people. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you, and also tonight, and on Wednesday night, I want to talk to you about how to become rich in God. And I'm not talking about money for this particular time. I'm talking about rich with God. There is a difference, you know. You can have money and still be crazy. Praise the Lord. You can have a lot of money and be real, real crazy. And if you research rich people, a lot of them are crazy people. Because they have to spend so much time worrying about protecting what they own that they're not free to enjoy it. Praise God. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is how you become rich with God. Because, you know, there's different kinds of poverty. You have the poverty of having no money, but then you have the poverty of having a poor soul. And I would rather have love and joy and peace inside me than all the money in the world. Praise the Lord. How many of you know that if you don't have love and you don't have joy and you don't have peace, it doesn't matter what else you own. It doesn't matter what else you have. You're not going to be able to sleep at night. You're going to have all kinds of tormenting thoughts. You're going to have anxieties. You're going to have fears. You're going to have frustrations. And those of you that have those, you know how poor you feel when you can't get a good night's sleep. You know how terrible it feels to have ugly and mean feelings towards people. You know what it's like to hate someone and to not be able to get over it, to dislike someone, to be offended at someone and not be able to get over it. So God then doesn't want us just to have money. He wants us to have money so we can use it as a weapon to bless people. But he wants us to be rich with him. And so a lot of people in church today are poor when it comes to God. They don't have patience. They don't have mercy. They don't have wisdom. They don't have understanding. They don't have inner harmony. Imagine what a man would pay to just be at peace. Imagine what men and women all over the world have done since the beginning of time to just find peace. They'll take drugs. They'll sell their mother. They'll travel from one end of the world to the next. They'll try every kind of religion. They'll experiment with every kind of chemical. They will do anything they can to just find some peace. Because man is a black hole of desires. And the greatest tyrant you will ever face is your desires. Because every desire is a future prison. Praise God. And so God comes and he tells this man, you have all these things that the world considers success, but you don't have me. So really the greatest treasure that you can have in your life is God himself. It's not only to have God in an idea. It's to have God in an experience. It's to not just be intellectually saved, but to be experientially saved. It means you don't just have God in your mind. You have him in the way you feel. Every day you feel the peace of God. You feel the joy of the Lord. What can you pay to have joy? True joy, where fear is completely annihilated by the joy that you have in your soul. You know, joyful people are crazy. If you've ever been around somebody that's truly joyful, they're just crazy. They don't care what you think. They don't care what you say. Because they have found something that they have been looking for their whole life. The ability to just be happy. Praise God. Think about how man searches for happiness. We look for happiness in things. We look for happiness in people. You think your wife's going to make you happy. She ends up tormenting you. You think your husband's going to make you happy. He ends up driving you crazy. You think your children are going to make you happy. They end up disappointing you. You think your job will make you happy or something else will make you happy. And sooner or later, you come to the conclusion in your life, however old you are, that I am not going to be happy with all these things. And then sometimes it's too late. You're too old. And it's kind of hard for you to even care. So you just resolve yourself to live in whatever it is you have. God created you to be blessed. Praise God. God wants you to have a rich marriage. Look at your wife or husband and say, you're going to make me rich. I can tell. You're just going to make me rich. Praise the Lord. So What today will make a difference only because, you know, ladies and gentlemen, if you listen, you'll be stirred, but if you hear, you'll be changed. And so there is a difference. You can waste this Sunday morning, and I can waste this message if all you do is listen. But if you hear, a change will take place, and you will become a different person. Praise the Lord. And the best way to say I love you to God or a person is to change for them. If you change, you're telling me something. If I say, you know, I really hate your hair, and you cut it off, so, ooh, that looks cool. I know you love me. Praise the Lord. If you smell and then you start taking showers and you're smelling good, I know you care about me. Praise God. If you scratch yourself in weird ways and places and you stop that, no longer do I see that. I know you care about me because you've made a change. Praise the Lord. That's the way it is with God, and that's the way it is with people. That if you come to church and you really want to honor God, the best way to honor God is to locate where you're like the devil and get rid of the devil. Praise the Lord. Look at two people and say, Because isn't it true, ladies and gentlemen, that the man or the woman of truth, a man or a woman who loves the truth, would rather be convicted and exposed than pleased and flattered? Isn't that true? Because not all of us really are interested in being exposed and convicted. We're more interested in being pleased and flattered. But God is not a flatterer. And God doesn't please our flesh. So he confronts us with the truth. And then we've got to decide if we're going to change or not. Praise the Lord. You can become rich this week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. You become wealthy. You can become wealthy in God. All your torments can leave. You can start sleeping well. You can start having no worry of any kind in your life. Think about that. No worry. No anxiety. No frustration. Think about no desire of killing anybody. Praise God. Say, well, I'm storming the White House. Well, praise God. You know what I'm saying? That may be good. As long as you don't kill anybody. But you understand what I'm saying. You're living with yourself every day, and you've got to live with the people that are in your life. I would rather have one or two people full of love and joy and peace and righteousness and holiness and wisdom and discernment and power in the Spirit to be spiritually rich. Praise God. We know then that poverty is to be naked. You know, when Jesus went to the cross, he was naked. He owned nothing. He had no one, and everybody forsook him. So poverty, then, is to be naked, to be hungry, to be thirsty, to have no one, to be by yourself, and to be enslaved. Those basically are the definitions of being poor. And there are ghettos of life. Not just a ghetto like in a city, but there's a ghetto of the soul. Praise God. An empty soul is the worst ghetto you'll ever have. To just be lonely is a terrible ghetto. To be angry is a terrible ghetto. To have conflicts within yourself and not be at the peace with life and with people is a terrible, terrible place. Praise God. God wants us to be rich with him. Praise the Lord. What a great wealth to be able to put up with miserable people. What do you think about that? Huh? Isn't that like a great wealth to say, man, I'm around these crazy people. They are so crazy. They are so raunchy. They are so mean. They're so callous. They're so cold-blooded. Their veins are ice. Their soul is a haunted house. I mean, they're just like terrible. And I just love them. I can't help myself. It just flows out of me. I just love them. Because that's not the natural reaction. The natural reaction is, how do we get rid of these people? How do we kill these people? How do we kidnap these people? How do we maim these people? And how do we bury them? Praise the Lord. Because that's what a poor soul does. A poor soul lives eye by eye. A rich soul lives at another level. Praise God. And you know, we don't come to church to just waste God's time by entertaining God with our presence and saying, oh, I'm in church. Be thankful, God. But God says, no, I bring you to church because I have some divine adjustments that I want to do. Praise the Lord. Because remember, your journey with God stops the moment you cease to be adjustable. Praise God. And anything God touches becomes a masterpiece. So when God is done with you, you're going to be amazing. Praise the Lord. Would you hug somebody and say, you need a little bit of amazing on your personality? Go ahead and hug somebody and say, that's what I'm talking about. So naked, Jesus was naked. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was alone. He was the prisoner of the world and of everybody. And that is true poverty. I don't think anybody here has ever been truly poor. To say, I don't have clothes. I don't know what I'm going to wear today. I have no clothes. I don't have a house. I have no food. I don't know when I will ever eat again. I have nothing to drink. I don't know when I will ever have anything to drink. Praise the Lord. To have no relatives, no friends, nobody that loves you, nobody that cares about you, to be totally by yourself. Like the orphans that we all are helping and taking care of. They come from these realities. We probably have never had that. I've never had any of that. I don't even know a person like that in America. And ladies and gentlemen, isn't it true that we are here not for ourselves? Because there's no me in love. There's no me in love. You know, Living Waters Church has been raised up for a purpose. It's not just to come to church, but it's to change the community with the wealth of God. There's poor people out there living in these woods. Maybe some of you are some of those people. But there's poor folks that have no God in them at all. Their mind is empty, their soul is empty. They have no peace in any area of their life. They're going crazy. They're getting drunk every day. They're doing terrible things just to fill the hole of their soul. And they have, you know, they've been from one relationship to another. It's the curse of poverty is on planet Earth. But Jesus, the Bible says Jesus became a curse. Praise God. And so I don't know about you, but I don't want to have an empty soul. I don't want to live in shallow places. I want to have the wealth of God. Praise God. True wealth, then, is to possess God. And true wealth is the absence of want. So I don't want to be driven by my desires. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's wealth. To be free from those driving, compelling desires that are going to make some of you do crazy stuff in the next year. I ain't feeling the love, so I'm going to go back here, talk to myself. I'll be right back. Beautiful preaching, Ivan. How do you do that? Praise God. Amazing. The absence of want. Think about that. Those desires that you have in there, those impulses and those urges, they drive you into a prison. Because they make you crazy and they drive you insane because you want those things and you want to get them. And when you can't get them, it frustrates you and it disappoints you and it makes you sad. And you end up going crazy from desires and wants. Only God can take out of you those compelling desires that make your life so unhappy. He is our desire. He alone can satisfy the longings of the soul. Praise God. Man cannot find happiness outside of God. And to enable a man or a woman, to enable a person to live without God is a crime in heaven. That's why all your motivational speaking, any answer void of God is a curse in heaven. We can never give people an answer that is void of God. Because at the end of the day, they're still going to be unhappy. Because behavior modification doesn't change your soul. Praise the Lord. It's the same as being moral. Any man on earth, saved or unsaved, can be moral. Morality is how you act. Holiness is who you are. You can be moral one day and immoral the next day. But when you become holy, it's not what you do, it's who you are. You cannot stop being who you are. That's why God doesn't call us to morality, He calls us to holiness. He changes our DNA through a communion relationship with Him. When you spend time with God, He actually reconfigures your DNA. Because isn't it true, ladies and gentlemen, that we were all born with a blood disease from Adam? We were born sick through blood. And now we are made well through blood. The blood makes us well. Jesus' blood heals Adam's blood. And our DNA becomes different. Praise the Lord. Would you hug two people and say, I need a blood transfusion. Praise God. You know, there are entire countries that are filled with AIDS because of the blood that's been given to the children in those countries. And it's an infestation and plagues because they were given blood that was polluted blood, sick with AIDS. And the whole entire generations have become sick. We were given Adam's blood. We were all born sick and poor. And so God says, how would you like if I made you rich? Let me just change your blood. Let me reconfigure your DNA through a relationship with me. Praise God. See, you don't get that from Buddha. Krishna can't give you that. Allah cannot give you that. Eastern religions cannot give you that. Meditation cannot give you that. Any kind of behavior alteration cannot give you that. The only thing that can give you wealth, true riches, to be truly not naked in your spirit, to not be hungry inside with an insatiable hunger that can never be satisfied, to no longer be thirsty like the woman at the well, to be completely satisfied and full of life and able to give it to other people, to become people's divine appointment because you have been given a piece of heaven in your life. Your life is a piece of heaven. And when you touch people, their lives change because you give them a piece of God. And so you walk around healing and delivering and restoring and blessing people because you have been healed. You have been delivered. You have been blessed. You have been fixed. You have been changed. You have been transformed. Your craziness is gone. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, that every healed wound becomes a weapon. And every broken chain becomes a ministry. And so when God sets something free and looses something and heals something, He inhabits it. And when God inhabits it, He then uses it to change all the other people that are empty and poor and living in the ghettos of life. Praise God. You all the single people, they're searching for love. They're searching. But romance is nothing but cocaine of the soul. It's just the cocaine of the soul. But romance will fail you. It will fail you, ladies and gentlemen. It will fail you because romance is a polygamist. It can fall in love with five people in one day. But the love of God is not like that. The love of God sanctifies your romance and gives you the power to give it to one person till the day you die, whether they give it back or not. Because that's what a holy person does. I just want to know, does anybody want to be happy? Who wants to be happy? Who believes you can make yourself happy? Are you a savior of yourself? Who can make you happy on planet Earth? What person can you find? What thing can you have? What possession can you own that is going to heal the sickness of your soul and make you rich in God? Christians go to church every week. They go to church in droves. Praise the Lord. They go in empty and they come out empty. Because the truth is, Colossians chapter 2 says it the best, that all the riches and all the wealth is hidden in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Our problem is not knowing things. Our problem is appropriating them. Our problem is not knowing that everything that we're looking for is in God or Jesus. Our problem is how do we get a hold of that stuff? That's the problem that people have. And that's why we say one thing, believe one thing, and live a different thing. And this is the question, which Jesus do you actually have? You may have one that cannot actually help you. Because if Jesus was in every church that people go to every week, if he really was there, there would be some amazing stuff going on in the United States. Pretty much everybody in the White House would be saved. Because everybody, all the senators and all the congressmen, they've got to have relatives that know Jesus. Jesus is everywhere. Any country, any place you go, you'll find him among the rich and among the poor. Right? But the truth is, there's Jesuses that are not really the real Jesus, and that's why we stay poor. We come to church, but nothing changes. We're still unhappy. People still get divorced. People still have their bad habits. Nothing really changes because really the Jesus that they have is not the real one. You can have the intellectual Jesus, and he's not going to help you because it's all in your head. It's just the Jesus of the brain. We got to get Jesus out of the head into the life. Praise the Lord. You have the cultural Jesus, which is the Jesus people have because they go to church because that's what their families have always done. It doesn't mean anything. Man will tolerate church as long as it's short and requires no changes. Then man will go to church. If he knows I'm there 35 minutes, all right, nothing's going to change. I'll stay, keep everything I got, be who I am. Let's go. And man will tolerate God as long as he behaves and stays in his box of predictability. But once God breaks out of his box, once God begins to say, I need you to repent. Once God says, I need you to change something. I need you to stop drinking. I need you to stop fornicating. I need you to stop chasing women. I need you to stop chasing men. Stop screwing around town. Stop doing all... Ooh, I probably shouldn't have used that word. But once... You know, I get free up here when I'm up here. Something in the air or something. It just frees me, man. Got drugs in the cars. And anyway... But once God begins to put requirements on people, they start running from him. That's why the cultural Jesus will not help you. Just going to church once a week and verifying your ticket to heaven is not going to give you wealth and riches in life. You're not going to stop needing Prozac and other chemicals to make it through life by just having a cultural God. Cultural Jesus. And the historical Jesus won't help you. That's just reading books. That's just history. Praise God. And the worst Jesus of all today, the worst one of all, is the reinvented one. Because Jesus no longer is Jesus. He has been reinvented. Preachers have reinvented him completely. They have gagged him. They have made him blind and deaf and mute. He can do nothing. He can heal nothing. He can deliver no one. He can rescue no one. He can change nothing. That is the Jesus of today. He's somewhere up in the clouds, just sleeping up there. That Jesus is not going to do you any good. So now they've got a Jesus that approves of everything anybody wants to do. So now, you know, now grace is forgiveness without repentance. That's the false heresies of grace being taught to people today. That you are forgiven without having to repent. That you are saved without needing Jesus. that you're a Christian without Christ. And this is the biggest abomination of all. If you believe in that one, like many thousands of American Christians do, then you're already doomed to be miserable for the rest of your life. But then there's a Jesus of the Bible. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a different Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. He's the one that finds you in the mud, that finds you in the whorehouse, that finds you in prison, that finds you in jail, that finds you weeping, that finds you in your blood, that finds you miserable and lonely and rejected and unwanted. He's the Jesus that will chase you right into the mouth of hell to the very last breath you take. He will stand at the door of hell and he will say, "Turn to me," and if you turn to him in the last seconds of your life, he will reach out his hand and he will drag you out of hell and put you in heaven, even though you don't deserve it and even though you should have gone to hell. But he is the Jesus that is alive and well, and he reaches out his hand and he has mercy, and he forgives the sinner, and he cleanses the weak, and he purifies, and he restores, and he saves, and he heals cancer, ladies and gentlemen, and he heals brain tumors, and he heals asthma, and he heals diseases, and his hand is alive, and he stretches out, and he goes out into the woods where people are living in darkness, and he goes in the presence of his Holy Spirit, and he rescues people out of the darkness, and he shifts them and puts them into the light. There is another Jesus that will make you wealthy. He puts a song in your heart when you ought to be crying. He gives you hope when all you should have is depression. He lifts your head when everybody is shoving it down. He picks you up when everybody is cursing you and cussing you and telling you that you're worthless and no good. He is the Jesus that you and I need, and he's the one that makes us rich. In him. In him are all the treasures. In him is all the wealth. He's the one we shout about, because we're not shouting about a thought and an idea and a legend. We're shouting about a person that we feel every day, that comes into our marriages and heals them, that takes our children and saves them. That's the Jesus we're talking about. We're talking about a Jesus that is involved in our life. He's not just a thought and a theory and an idea and a concept. He's not literature. Remember that the only way to read the Bible is to practice the Bible. You cannot understand the Bible until you practice it. If all you do is read it, it will deceive you. You will have a twisted idea. But once you practice, it's like this, ladies and gentlemen. Reading the map is not taking the journey. Reading the menu is not ordering the food. And if you're going to want God to make your life rich and for you to stop being miserable and full of yourself and the conceits and vanities of the mind, if you want all that to end, you're going to have to order from the menu. You can't just read it. I think some of you need to order some stuff right now. Say, "Lord, I need item number one, which is peace. I need some of that. I need some love. I need some joy. I need some wisdom. I need some strength. I need some power. I need some victory. I need some holiness. I need some understanding. I need some faith." You have to order it. Praise God. Don't just read it. Order it. Put in your order. I need a piece of God this morning. Praise the Lord. Tonight I'll show you the 9 levels of wealth and poverty, because, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know how to get out of something, you can't get into it. You can be rich. You can be happy. Here's the beautiful truth. You don't need people to be happy. People are icing on your cake. If we don't find the Jesus that makes us whole, then our searching is not over. And the saddest thing of all is when man concludes that God is not enough. Because they have believed in the wrong Jesus and the wrong God. So they just give up on God. They quit church, quit the Bible, quit everything. Because they have not found answers in it. Because they've only read without ordering. Praise the Lord. When you die, ladies and gentlemen, I hope there's a lot of people at your funeral. And I hope they're there because you got them out of hell into heaven. Remember, and this is what the way the Lord told it to me, man measures success by how much money we make. God measures success by how many ugly people we can make. You matter. Your life is important. You are not an insignificant flea on a dog. There is something to be discovered about you that has not been discovered yet. God is not through with Utopia. God is not done with Living Waters Church. He hasn't even started. There is an army of people still to be saved and raised in these hills. There is a job for you to do for God. There is a purpose for your existence, bigger than eating, sleeping, and drinking, and being married. Your mother may not be going to heaven. You've got a job. You need to get on your knees. Your dad may not know Jesus. Your children may not be walking with God. Your relatives may be living out there in these woods, and they may be lost. You're the only thing they're ever going to meet. They may not have any contact with the rest of the world. So whatever Jesus they see, it's going to be in you. And you're the loudest sermon. Your life is the loudest sermon anybody will ever hear. And when the Christians are acting more like devils than the devils are, then you know you got a real serious problem. Praise the Lord. Give somebody a high five and say, man, I'm coming out of the ghetto. Praise the Lord. So, today, this morning, it's important this morning that we decide that we're not going to have a naked spirit or a naked soul. That we're not going to eternally thirst and eternally be hungry. We've got to make the decision that this morning we're going to take a step towards wealth, towards being made rich with God. This is what I think is the most important thing, is if you can get wealthy with Jesus, wealthy with God, praise God. He'll take the sorrow and bitterness out of your soul. You know, when you're rich with God, even if you're married to a miserable person, they don't have the power to make you miserable because they cannot steal from you what God has invested inside of you. But if you are empty and searching for your mate to make you rich, you will cannibalize each other. You will literally eat one another till there's nothing left of either one of you. Because it's two empty vessels starving to death, eating and devouring one another, saying you should do this and you should do that and you should act this way and you should act that way. Why don't you do this? Why do you do that? Why don't you treat me right? They're sick. Jesus is the cure. Praise the Lord. I hope I have appealed to you this morning and I've spoken to your mind, I've spoken to your will, I've spoken to your heart, and now you're going to have to make a decision. Which direction are you going to go? Remember that God wants you to give him what he cannot take. That is your will. He will never take it. But it is what gave it to you, he wants it back because it's the only way he can bless you. The only true free person is a truth slave. Only a truth slave is ever truly free because the truth sets you free. And when you become the slave of truth, then you get set free all day, every day, all the time. Don't you want peace in your house, ladies and gentlemen? How many of you have ever had a fight? Let me see your hands. How many of you have ever had a fight in the house? Huh? And when I say a fight, I'm not talking about a disagreement. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about a disagreement. Those are legal. But I'm talking a fight. Arguing. How many have argued in your house? And you hate the feeling of it. Praise the Lord. But the highest level, you know, of that is when two demons are talking to each other. It ceases to be arguing. Now you become a prophet of Satan to the person. You actually tell that person what Satan thinks about him. And if you have that in your home, you have the devil in your house. And you're poor. You're very poor. God can heal your heart so that love comes out of your mouth and healing words. How many have ever had anybody say something that healed you? They said it to you and it healed you. It made you feel like living instead of dying. Praise the Lord. Why don't you fill the city with that? There's enough of you here to do it. Why don't you just fill the whole city with that? Why don't you greet people and show them the love of God? Why don't you go over to people's houses and give them some money and help them do something? Why don't you do some crazy things that Christians who have God in them do and start changing the whole city? Why don't you invite somebody to church from now on till the day you die? Because maybe they'll get saved and their whole world will be changed as your worlds have been changed. Praise the Lord. Look at three people and say, I'm about to get wealthy. Praise the Lord. Can you hug somebody right now and show them a little bit of love? Just hug somebody and say, hey, I just want to show you a little bit of love. Praise the Lord. Remember what I said this morning. If you listened, you're stirred. But if you hear, then you're changed. Changes require decisions. You cannot have a change without a choice. Praise the Lord. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Do you have any music? I forgot to even give it to you. But close your eyes for just a moment this morning. Church is where we come to encounter God. Church is where we come to encounter God. So this morning you need to decide if you want an encounter with God. Sunday night and Wednesday night, we'll do part two and three. Remember that if you're not hungry for something, you won't eat it. Only the hungry get solutions and deliverance. I'm going to ask a question. I ask it everywhere I go. I've asked it here many times. If you came this morning to church and you say, you know, I'm poor, my soul, my spirit, my body, my life, I have areas of poverty in my life that are not rich with God. I want to have a rich body full of health. I want to have a rich soul. I want to have a rich spirit. I want to have rich relationships. I want a rich family. I want a rich marriage. I want a rich life. I don't want to dwell in poverty and in a ghetto in my marriage. If that's you, if that's what your heart is saying, then you came to church to the right place. But I ask this question everywhere I go. Are you 100% sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die? Can you say that you have absolutely no doubt that heaven is where you're going whenever you die? And nobody knows when you're going to die. Nobody knows when you're going to die. People die every day by the thousands. None of them expect to die on that day. So here's the question. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, but you want to go, if you say, I don't have peace in my heart about going to heaven, I want it. If that's you, right where you're sitting, all that I would like you to do is if you say, I want that peace in my heart about heaven. All I want you to do is to lift your hand high enough for me to see, and then I'm going to pray for you, and God is going to give you that peace that passes all understanding. Would you lift your hand high enough for me to see? I'll pray for you. Okay? I see your hand there. I see your hand there. And raise it with no shame. I see your hand there. 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 I see your hands everywhere. You're going to leave here rich and wealthy with peace that only God can give a person. Now, if you lifted your hand, I would like you to stand so I can see you and let me pray for you. Stand to your feet as quickly as you can. Now, those of you that are standing, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you say anything to anybody, but I would like to pray for you. May I have your permission to pray for you? If I do, could you wave your hand at me? May I pray for you? Okay. Would you do this? Would you just come right up here to the front as quick as you can? Let me just pray for you. Come right up here to the front. Please give them a hand as they come up. And I would like you to clap as if your own mama was coming up here, or your own son, or your own daddy. Praise the Lord. You know, these people are somebody's son, daughter, mother, father. These people belong to somebody. And I want all of us this morning to appreciate the decision that these folks have made to find peace for their life. Now, in my spirit, I am feeling there's about three more people sitting out there that aren't sure they're going to heaven, but they didn't come up for whatever reason. And so two. So what I want you all to do, if you would help me, is ask the people around you if they're sure they're going to heaven. And if they say, I don't know, offer to bring them up and see if they'll come up. Would you do that? Maybe they'll come up. Sometimes people just need somebody to say, I'll go up there with you. Okay? Two more people. Would you do that now? And let's see if those two people will come up if somebody comes up with them. Praise the Lord. Do you know why you come to the front? Jesus said it best. He said, if you are ashamed of me in front of people, I will be ashamed of you in front of my Father. These people just hired their lawyer. And he's never lost a case. Never lost a case. So, I'm not gonna push you anymore. I'm just going to say that this would be your last invitation. I know there's still two of you. If you have the courage, you should just get up and come forward and let me pray for you and change the rest of your life. Forever. Praise the Lord. So, are you going to do it? Two people? I'm just waiting. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? Let's then, you guys extend your hands towards them. And I'm going to have you guys close your eyes to shut out everything. If you mean this prayer, from your heart, your world will be a different color when you open your eyes. if you mean it, you hear my words and repeat them. Mean this from your heart. Say, Jesus, I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven. I need the doubts destroyed that are in my mind. I want to forgive every person that has hurt me in my life. Say it with them, church. I want to forgive every person that has hurt me in my life. I let them go. I will not hate them. I will not pursue any type of vengeance against them. I let them go as you are letting me go. I forgive myself for all the things I have done in my life. I know I don't deserve forgiveness, but I am receiving forgiveness from your hand of mercy. Wash me clean, purify my life, and give me a chance to serve you and follow you with all of my heart. I turn my back on the world and on the devil. I don't want to live a dark life. I want to live the life you have planned for me. Write my name in the book of life. I'm going to heaven. I am forgiven. Jesus is in my heart. I am not guilty. I am not guilty. I am not guilty. And I am going to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you all turn around for a moment? I'm not going to make you say anything to anybody. Ladies and gentlemen, these men and women are on their way to heaven. The devil is a liar. Whatever they have done has been forgiven. Whatever they have said, whatever guilt was on them is gone. Whatever shame was on them is gone. They have a new chance at life. And they're going to have peace, and they're going to have the power to do God's will. Thank you for all of you that brought them here. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, and God bless you. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Now, I'm going to do one last thing, if it's okay, and then we'll let you be dismissed. It's 12:05. I'm going to play that DVD that we have. This is our Africa project, which, of course, Pastor Robert and many of you here support. Let's see if we can get that to play. They've been working on it since yesterday. And this is where we work, is in Kenya. And we are going there on September the 9th. And I'm taking a team of about 40 people so far. I think 35 right now, but it'll end up being about 40 people. And there's about 800 children there. We are already taking care of, right now, 1,500 children right now in Africa. But I want to take in another 800 children. Praise the Lord. Now, these kids, this is their school clothes. They're pretty much rags. And all these kids are extremely, extremely poor. They're orphans, and they live wherever they can, sleep wherever they can. They don't have anything. We found a school there, this school right here, and this is where we're going, to this place right here. Right now, at this moment, you see that building to the left, right there? That is their kindergarten school. 150 kids have to fit in that. I am going to go on September the 9th and build them a kindergarten school. That is their kitchen, which is now gone. And right now, they're rebuilding the brand new one. We just sent them the money to do it. And they're rebuilding a brand new kitchen. 790 kids. That's what they eat, that one bowl. But we're going to build them a brand new kindergarten school, September the 9th. If any of you want to go, I still have room for 10 people. So you can go see this for yourself And Pastor Robert knows me. I'm not, you know, claiming things that we don't do. But that's what we're going to do, is we're going to build them a kindergarten school. It's going to cost me $5,000 for the material for the school. So if any of you are led to help me in that, I have to raise the money to build that school. But $5,000 is not a lot for the material, and then we're going to build it. So that's what's going to happen. If you only have one or other money to give Guatemala or whatever, then that's between you and God. But that's kind of what we're aiming for right now for September. And between now and then, I need to raise that much money. If more than that comes in, then there's more things that we can do. Praise the Lord. But I believe this, that to live a rich life and to find the secret of happiness, you cannot try to make yourself happy. The only way I have ever found happiness in 40 years of being in the ministry now, is the only way I find happiness is to give it away. If you make a person happy, you increase your own happiness. If you try to make yourself happy, make yourself happy. Because we are not created to get. We are created. Praise the Lord. Amen. We will be ministering to you, laying hands on you tonight and on Monday. I know it's Mother's Day. If it's possible for you to come tonight, I think you won't regret it. And then again on Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. And we love Pastor Robert, Miss Laura, and everyone here at the church. You are our number one partners. You're not just partners in the sense of like the other partners we have, but Robert is the only person that I have given total access to everything. He can do anything, raise money, do whatever he wants. There's no limitations. He owns half the orphanage anyway. So, and you as the church, this church is the number one giving church that we have anywhere in the world. This church. By many thousands of dollars. And we go to churches of 7,000, 8,000, and 9,000 people. And I'm telling you that there's no more generous church that we have ever known in 40 years of ministry than Living Waters. You've done more than any church has ever done. You give more consistently all the time. Plus, not to mention that Robert, you know, is a family member of our family, and we love him, and many of you are also in that category. And so I appreciate friendship. And that's why I come 3 times a year. I don't go anywhere 3 times a year, but I go here. And it's actually a break for me. I really enjoy it. I just like everything about everybody. Praise the Lord. You're just my kind of people. I don't know what to say. Praise the Lord. I can cuss, do things like that. But anyway, just kidding. Anyway, God bless you, everybody. I hope it was a blessing this morning. Have a great Mother's Day this afternoon. If you can make it tonight, we'll be here. And then again on Wednesday, I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Walter. Merry Christmas. I mean, Pastor Robert. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Praise the Lord. Walter.
Praise God.
Okay, well, ushers, help me. What I want to do is take up an offering. And if Brother Ivan, didn't you tell me yesterday it was 7 new kids this week or last week? 7 new kids in Guatemala plus the other 3 that came in. So we've gotten like 10 kids in the last 6 weeks into the orphanage. So praise God, everything's going great in Guatemala. So anyway, we're going to take up the offering right now. If you just want to just generally give and you don't want to designate where it's going, well, that's fine. But if you wanted something specifically to go towards Africa, then write on your offering envelope Africa. If you want to go specifically to Guatemala, then write Guatemala. And if not, it's all going in that direction anyway. So however you'd like to designate it. But put your hand over your offering. Let's pray. Father, right now, I just thank you in the name of Jesus for just miraculous finances. Lord, finances that just go above and beyond in our life. I thank you for miracles in our lives, Lord, that gives us the ability to give more and to give more and to help more and to reach more and to touch more. And Lord, we just ask you to bless these givers now in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, right now we've been for the last, I don't know, couple of years sending money out of the church every month, specifically to Brother Ivan, for food that's going to help these children. And so this is a new stretching. Praise God for that. New stretching, more money, going in good places, blessing people, getting people saved, healed, delivered. Amen? If anybody is interested in going to the trip in Africa, you need to visit with me or visit with Brother Ivan about it and what's going on. And praise God for that. You just need to visit with me. If I haven't committed yet. Brother Ivan says I'm going. Yeah, business class, maybe. Coach, wow. But be here tonight, 6:30. We'll be here. And then also at our regular service times at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, we'll be back. So, praise God. Stand to your feet if you would. And I want to ask just a couple of prayer team people to come down and stay up here at the front when services are with you. If you're here today and you want prayer specifically about anything else going on in your life or a crisis come up and you need prayer, well, we want to pray with you and believe God for you. So come on down and have some prayer team people who will pray with you. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just thank you, Lord, as we leave this building today. We're going out and we desire with all of our heart to be rich towards you, O Lord God, to be full of you in everything. And so, Lord, we thank you on this Mother's Day that you bless the mothers. And as they go out, Lord God, from here, I just thank you, Lord, it's a joyful day and that we come back tonight with our expector zone ready to receive from you, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you.